In that passage he just read for us in Colossians chapter 3, he said to set your mind or seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Today we're going to be studying from Ephesians chapter 2 as we continue to look at this great letter of Paul. So we've been studying verse by verse through this great book of the Bible. We began our look at chapter 2 by seeing, as Paul describes, what we were all like without Jesus. Before we came to Jesus Christ, before we trusted in Him as our Savior and Lord, before He saved us, he says, we were like this. We were dead in transgressions and sins. We were dominated by the world, by Satan, and by our own flesh. And we were doomed to face the wrath of God. And so Paul describes this dead spiritual condition that we were in verses 1 through 3 of chapter 2. And then in verses 4 and 5, he tells us why God intervenes on our behalf to save us. He says it's because of God's nature of love that he expresses towards us in his mercy and his grace. And last time, we began to look at verses 6 and 7, where Paul describes what God has done through Jesus Christ in order to change what we were before we were in Christ. And so listen to Ephesians chapter 2 verses 1 through 7 as I read it to you. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the Spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning asking that you would open our eyes, open our hearts, open our minds to understand the truth of your word as you bring it to us this morning. God, I pray that you'd speak to our right into the depth of who we are today. Not through the words that I would say, but God, through your holy word, that you would burn into our minds and write upon our hearts this morning. And we pray this in the precious name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we said the last time that Paul is describing for us in verses 6 and 7 what he has done for us in Jesus Christ in taking us from being dead in trespasses and sins, in taking us from being under the powers of the world and the flesh and the devil, in taking us from being under the wrath of God because of our sin, in that dead spiritual condition, how God, through Jesus Christ, has made us alive, raised us up, and has seated us with Christ in the heavenly places. And so we said last time that what Jesus Christ has done is, first of all, because we were dead in trespasses and sins, he made us alive with Christ. Verse 6. So we saw that in verses 1 and 5, he repeats, he says, we were dead in trespasses and sins. In verse 5, he says it again. He says, but you who were, though even though you were dead in trespasses, God has made you alive. So we were, as we said last time, in a spiritual morgue, and the cause of death was sin. As we have all been disobedient to God, as we have all sinned, we all died spiritually. We were separated from the life of God because of sin. But God didn't leave us in that dead spiritual condition. We have that wonderful phrase in verse 4 that says, But God made a difference. He stepped in through Jesus Christ and He made us, it says, alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And so my deepest need was that because I was dead in trespasses and sins, I needed to be made alive again. And the good news is that because of God's great love poured out in His mercy and His grace, He did it. He did it through Jesus Christ. He made me alive. And that means that now, as I have trusted in Jesus Christ, because I've been saved by grace, I am now in Christ. You remember that phrase has been very, very important so far in the book of Ephesians. He has repeated it over and over and over again in chapter 1, how we have been blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He made us alive in Him. We are in Christ. And really that speaks about a spiritual union that I have with Jesus Christ. So that I am identified with Him in His death and in His resurrection and in His exaltation. So that I am in Christ and Christ is in me. And because of that, I have died with Christ and I've been made alive in Him. Before Christ, I was spiritually dead. Now I am spiritually alive. But that's not all. That's what we looked at last time. We have two more things that Christ has done for us to meet the very deepest needs that we have. The first one is that I have died with Christ and I've been made alive in Him. Second, I was dominated by the world, the flesh, and the devil. But now, God has raised me up with Christ. Because we were dead in trespasses and sins without God, we were powerless to overcome the powerful spiritual forces at work in this world. We were powerless to stand up against the temptations of the devil. We were powerless even to overcome our own flesh, our sinful nature. But once again, the good news is that God didn't leave us in that spiritual condition. He didn't leave us to be simply powerless in that spiritual mess that we were in, dominated by our own flesh, dominated by the world system, dominated by the devil and all of his evil spiritual forces. He didn't leave us in that mess. The good news is, He sent Jesus to deal with that. And so, God has, He says, raised us up together with Christ. He has raised us up together with Christ. Now we know this. We know that Jesus died on the cross. Amen? We know that God raised Jesus from the dead on the third day so that He is alive. He is alive today. He will never die again. Death no longer has mastery over Him, the Bible says. Jesus Christ died and He was made alive again on the third day. He was raised from the dead. He was raised to an exalted life. You see, when I believed in Jesus, when God saved me, God did not immediately raise me up physically from the dead. He did not raise me up physically from this earth as He did the Lord Jesus. That resurrection will come someday. We have the Word of Jesus. We have the Word of the Apostles. We have the Word all the way through the Scriptures that one day there will be a resurrection of the dead, and those who have died in Christ will be their bodies will be raised up, and we will live with Christ forever. We know there is a day of resurrection, and we look forward to that day. But until that time, right now, physically, I still live in this body of flesh, just as you do. However, listen to this. The moment that I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, the moment that I trusted Christ, I was raised up with Him spiritually. The physical resurrection has not come yet. I still live in this body of flesh. But spiritually, I've been raised up to a new life, a new kind of life, a resurrection life with Jesus Christ. What does that mean? One of the things it means is this: my citizenship has changed. You see, I am, even though I live on this earth, my citizenship is not just in the United States of America or just as a citizen of this world. I am a part of the kingdom of God. I am a part of the kingdom of heaven. Later in this letter, Paul is going to call the Gentile believers who have trusted in Jesus like you and like me, He's going to call us fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household, the family of God. That's who we've been made to be in Christ. Peter and the writer of the Hebrews both call believers, those of us who have trusted in Jesus, He calls us aliens, strangers on this earth. Why? Because our citizenship is in heaven. The place where we belong is in heaven. Our King is in heaven. And so the kingdom of God that we're a part of is not of this world. At our conversion, Jesus made us citizens of His kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. We're citizens of the kingdom of heaven because we have a new king. We don't serve, as it says in verse 2, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Before, we did. Our king, our prince, the one who lorded over us was the devil, was Satan himself. The one who is, it says in verse 2, is at work in the sons of disobedience. Those who of us, all of us, before we came to Christ, we were lorded over by Satan, dominated by him. No longer. No longer for those of us who have believed in Jesus. He's no longer my Lord. He's not my King. Jesus is my King. He's the Lord. And so because He's the King and He's in heaven at the right hand of the Father, then I am a citizen of heaven because He's my King. Does that make sense? We no longer serve the world. We no longer serve the flesh. We no longer serve the devil because we have pledged our allegiance to Jesus Christ. He's our King. And being citizens of the heavenly kingdom really gives us a whole new outlook on life. We begin to live our lives based not on the standards of this world, but based on the standards of the kingdom of heaven. Listen to what John MacArthur says about this. I like this. He says, this kingdom, paradoxically, is made up of exalted people who were once all slaves to sin. Righteous people who were once all wicked. Honored people who were once all criminals. Loyalists who were once all defiant rebels. Friends who were once all enemies. It is made up of rulers who were at the same time servants. Vanquished who were at the same time super conquerors. Heroes whose glory is in their weakness. Overcomers whose highest goal is humility. You see, the world doesn't live like that. But we who are citizens of the kingdom live like that. That's a whole different kind of kingdom, and it requires a whole different kind of life. Think about it this way. When Jesus Christ was made alive in that tomb, there His body had laid for 3 days, 3 nights. And as His body lay there in that tomb, through the power of the Holy Spirit of God, that body came back to life. The life returned to that body. Jesus was made alive in that tomb. Did He stay in the tomb? Well, of course not. Dead people don't stay in the tomb. Alive people don't stay in the tomb. Tombs are made for dead people. Jesus didn't stay in the tomb. No, God rolled away the stone and Jesus was raised out of the tomb. Why? Because dead people are the ones who stay in tombs. Live people don't live in tombs. Right? Think about Lazarus. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead in John chapter 11. And Jesus told them to take away the stone from the entrance there. Then the people, as Jesus spoke to that dead man in that tomb, He said, "Lazarus, come forth." And as He raised Lazarus from the dead, here comes Lazarus out of the tomb. And what did Jesus say? He said, as He saw Lazarus, he came out, he was still wrapped up in the grave clothes. This burial shroud that was covering him. And what did Jesus say? Loose him, unbind him, and let him go. Why? Because living people don't go walking around in death shrouds. Living people don't go walking around in burial clothes. Living people come out of the tomb and they go out to live a new kind of life. And so, what is that picture for us who have been made alive and raised up with Christ? We are raised up to a new kind of life. A life of the kingdom of heaven. You see, Paul says we were not only made alive together with Christ, but the kind of life that we have with Christ is a raised up life. It's a resurrection life. It's not the same kind of life that we had before we came to Christ. It's a resurrection life. Practically, this truth means that we can now live with the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, with His resurrection life living in us. Our new life is a raised up life. It is the life of the risen Lord Jesus Christ living in and through us. Wow! When you think about it, in Paul's letter to the Colossians that Richard read for us a moment ago, before that place in chapter 3 that he just read, it says in chapter 2 of Colossians, verse 12, it says, Paul explains to the Colossian believers how we have been buried with Christ, buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also, he says, raised with Him through faith in the working of God who raises Him from the dead. And then, he says in Colossians 3, verse 1, that if you were raised with Christ, and you were, okay, seek those things which are what? Above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. So what's He say? He says, if you've been made alive with Christ, and if you've been raised up with Christ, then you're to live a new kind of life. You can't live the same kind of life you had before. You live a resurrection life. You live a raised up life. You set your mind on the kingdom of heaven, not on the kingdoms of this earth. You set your mind on the things of God, not on the things of the devil. You set your mind on the things that God has for us above. You're living up here, even though we're still in the flesh down here. That's a new kind of life. It's a raised up life. Although God has not yet completely removed us from the influence of the world or the flesh or the devil, by raising us up together with Christ, we now have His resurrection power living in us. That's why Paul prays in chapter 1. And when he prays that we would know the power of God. The power that raised Jesus from the dead. We would know that we have that power living in us through His Holy Spirit. Why? Because we're to live a new kind of life. Practically, this means that we can now live a new kind of life. We can live a resurrection life because we have His power. We've been raised up with Christ. We are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Well, that's point number two. Real quickly, let's go to point number three. I've been made alive with Christ. I've been raised up with Christ. And number three, I was doomed, but God seated me with Christ. Without Christ, we were doomed to face the wrath of a holy God. Verse 3 said, we were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. And once again, there was absolutely nothing that we could do to fix that situation. There was nothing that we could do on our own to make ourselves right with a holy God. We were children of wrath, just like everybody else. But verse 6 says that God made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He made us alive, He raised us up, and He made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What does Paul mean that we've been seated together with Christ in the heavenly realms? Well, I think one aspect of that is what Paul says about Jesus back in chapter 1. Because there in verse 20, if you'll back up just a few verses to chapter 1, verse 20, you'll find that he says that Christ was raised up from the dead, you see it there, and seated at the Father's right hand in the heavenly places. God's right hand is a place of... Whenever the Bible talks about the right hand, it's usually talking about a place of strength, a place of power, a place of authority, a place of dominion. And so, when it says that Christ was raised up and seated at the right hand of the Father in the heavenly places, Jesus has the strength, the power, and all the authority of God. He is at the Father's right hand. Verse 21 describes what that means for Jesus. It says He is far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. Jesus has authority over everything. Over everything. Now and forever. When Jesus was with His disciples in Matthew chapter 28, before He gives to them that great commission that says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them. Before He says that, do you remember what He says in Matthew 28 verse 18? Jesus looked at His disciples and He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Me. All. He says it there in Matthew 28:18, and it says it there in Ephesians 1:21. It uses that three-letter word, A-L-L. And when God uses the word all, He usually means all. Right? All authority. Jesus has been placed above all. He says far above all. What does that mean for us? Jesus has authority over all. Over everything. Over anything that would come against us. Over anything that would set itself up against God or against His people. And if Jesus Christ has authority over all, and I have been united with Christ, if I am in Jesus Christ, in the heavenly places, seated with Him at the right hand of the Father, I am seated with Him in that place of authority. And so, Jesus Christ is at that right hand of the Father. In the Old Testament, David gives a prophecy about that in Psalm 110, verse 1, where he says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. The idea is that God would someday say to David's Lord, that is to the Messiah, sit at my right hand in this place of authority, where I will put all of your enemies under your feet. That meant the Messiah would have all the authority over all of His enemies. He would have the place of honor at God's right hand. When Jesus was on trial before the Jewish authorities, and they asked Him, you know, whether He was the Christ, whether He was the Messiah, Jesus said this in Luke 22:69. He said, hereafter the Son of Man will sit on the right hand of the power of God. And they said, well then, are You the Son of God? He said, yes, You've said that I am. The chief priests, when they heard Jesus say that, they screamed at the top of their lungs. They were angry and they thought that He was blaspheming because He was making Himself to be equal with God as the Son of God. The one He said that He would be seated at the right hand of the majesty of God, the power of God. In the book of Revelation, Jesus wrote to the church in Laodicea. And in Revelation chapter 3, verse 21, he says this, "To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." You see, when God saves us, he doesn't just forgive us our sins and then send us off to live in the slums of heaven. He has a place reserved for us with Jesus Christ right at the head table. Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father on his throne, and he says those who overcome, who have believed in him, who have trusted in Jesus Christ, will also sit down and rule and reign with him. 2 Timothy 2:12 says that if we endure, we shall also reign with him. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 6, it says, "Blessed and holy is he who has a part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And if that's the way it's going to be, when we are in heaven with God forever and ever, what does that say about now? Is Jesus lacking in power today? No. He has all that authority and all that power now, doesn't he? And if I am in him and he is in me, I am seated with him in that place of authority, then Jesus Christ, who has all the authority, and when I will rule and reign with him forever, I can rule and reign with him today over anything in this life. What does that mean? It means this, that I don't have to give in to the powers of this world anymore. I don't have to let temptation rule over my life. I don't have to sin anymore. Why? Because Jesus has won the victory. He has the power over all of that. Do you believe that? Do you? Are you living that way? You know, we don't physically right now sit in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. But spiritually, we do sit in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And since our life and our identity is in Christ, as he sits in the heavenly places, so do we. And why does he do it? Verse 7, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. God's purpose in seating us with Christ in the heavenly realms is so that God might demonstrate his kindness to us. Such a sharp contrast between what he described in verses 1 through 3, where he says we were by nature children of wrath, and now he says we are a demonstration of God's kindness. Wrath for those who do not believe, kindness towards us who believe in Jesus Christ. The Life Application Commentary says this, "There is an expression, when you see a turtle on a fence post, you know it didn't get there by itself. It's obvious that somebody put the turtle up there." In a very real sense, Christians are like turtles sitting on fence posts. There by the grace of God alone. It's as if someone asked God, "How can I be sure that you're loving and you're as loving and gracious as you say you are?" And his response is to put on display believers in Jesus Christ. His response is to take the church of Jesus Christ and to say, "Here is the demonstration of my kindness, of my grace, of my love. I have taken flawed, sinful, stupid, faithless group of people, men and women so obviously sinful and flawed, and I have done for them what they could never do for themselves. Who else but God could love people like us? You are a display of the grace of God. You are trophies of grace. F.B. Meyer writes that He could love us when we were dead in trespasses and sins, that He has linked us in the bonds of an indissoluble union with His Son, that He has made it possible for us to share in His resurrection, His triumph, and His throne, that we, the poor children of earth and sin, could be admitted into the circle of deity. This will be, to all eternity, the mightiest proof of the exceeding riches of His grace. I'm not sure we're even capable of fully understanding the implications of what God has done for us in making us alive in Christ, in raising us up with Him, and seating us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ. We are a changed people. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. One preacher illustrated it this way when he wrote, "When I got on the plane on the way home recently, I was looking for an illustration for what I believed Paul was teaching here in Ephesians chapters 1 and 2. And I found it in an unusual way. A man got on the plane, and I noticed him right off. He wasn't as tall as I am, but he was three times as big. He had a huge shoulders and a big barrel chest, and he was wearing a blue suede sports jacket. And as he was taking his jacket off, he pulled it open, and that label stuck out. It was big, and it was red, and it had white letters, and it was outlined in blue. And the label said, 'Made in the USA.' Now that label, the preacher said, made a statement to me about that coat. And it made a statement about the man who was wearing it. He was an American, and he was proud of it. Made in the USA. He said, it got me to thinking. Isn't that exactly what Paul is saying here? Isn't he trying to tell us and to tell these Ephesian believers that we are made in heaven by the grace of Almighty God? We ought to be wearing a label like that everywhere we go. Shouldn't we? Made in heaven by the grace of God. We are not man-made, we are God-made. A label should be on every one of us. We are made in heaven by the grace of God. Let me ask you, are you humbly and lovingly displaying your made in heaven label for people to see? Jesus said, a city on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do men light a lamp, put it under a bushel. Instead, they put it out where everyone can see Him. He says, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. Are you wearing your label? Are you living it out? Are you setting your mind on the things above instead of the things on this earth? Is that what really matters to you? Because you're living that new kind of made alive, raised up, seated with Christ kind of life. And if not, Maybe today's the day you need to get that right. Maybe today's the day you need to look and say, you know, I've not been made alive in Christ. I'm still dead in my sin. I've not been forgiven. I'm still carrying that stuff around. And I need a new kind of life. Would you come to Jesus and today and just say, save me? He will. Bible says that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He does it by His grace, not by anything that you've done, but because of what Jesus has done. And when you get together with Him, everything that God has done in Christ, He does in you. How about you who have already trusted in Jesus? Are you living as a citizen of the kingdom? Are you still plodding around like everybody else on this earth, living for the things of the world? Man, we've been made different. Would you make a decision today to put that aside, to make the priority Jesus Christ and His kingdom? What did Jesus say in the Sermon on the Mount? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Would you make that decision today? We're going to have our invitation time. As you stand with me, we're going to pray. As we pray, let God speak to your heart and talk to you about what He wants you to make as a decision for Him today. And you make that decision. And you come as God calls you. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, speak to our hearts right now as You have taught us Your Word. Oh God, we thank You for what Jesus Christ has done in dying for us, being raised from the dead, and exalted at Your right hand. Oh Father, we thank You that those of us who have trusted in Jesus, those of us who are saved by Your grace, have been placed there as well. Like a turtle on a fence post, You put us there, God. There's nothing that we did. And we are displays of Your kindness and grace. Oh God, use us in that way, that we would be the light of the world. We would be the salt of the earth, that others would see the glory of God in us. So Father, speak to us today. Call us to Yourself. Show us the decision we're to make for You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Our hymn of invitation is number 413. You come as the Lord calls you today.